Gentlemen, I just want to, I think by all accounts, year Tov Shin Pei was an extraordinary year. I think it was. I don't think there was anything remotely similar since quite a long time. It's been extraordinary from every perspective. I heard a share a little while ago by Rabbi Y. Jacobson, and he says that it's never been anything that every single person around the world has been affected by something. It's never been anything like that for many years. It's one thing that everybody's been affected, young, old, rich, poor. Every continent and every country has been affected in one way or another. But this virus has got a size that we can't even, you know, you need like 1.5 million viruses to fit through a pin or needle or something. It's extraordinarily small and it makes such an extraordinary impact. So I think we all in all our lives were one way or another was affected and shaken, and it's true that everything has been affected. Every single aspect of our life has been somehow or another touched by this, and it was an extraordinary year. Yet I do feel that it's in a way it was very reassuring. If looking back at there was like one thing that was across the whole year, lockdown, before lockdown, after lockdown, and it's in a way very assuring and very humbling, really. Very humbling, the fact that we managed to have our share every single night, every single evening. I know, there was maybe a couple of, you know, occasions that we couldn't make it, but on the whole, I think it's a very humbling experience. I think it's great that despite all the challenges, we pulled God together and we managed to learn a little bit, and we managed to delve into the Heilige words of the Heilige Chofetz Chaim every single evening without fail, pretty much. And it's a very humbling experience, because so many things didn't happen this year. So many things just didn't quite pull off, and so many things were disturbed and destroyed, and so many things were challenged. So many things were, and yet we managed to do it. Zoom, not Zoom, we managed to pull it through. And I want to just express my akozatov to all of you that we did it. I think that the bit of a cheshbon nefesh, and I think it's. I want to thank you. I don't know if I would have learned that half an hour every evening. I probably wouldn't have. And I want to thank you for that. And I think it's been indeed a humbling experience this year again. I know we've done it for some 10, 11 years, but I think this year was. So I want to thank you for that, and I want to take this opportunity indeed to wish all of you Taka Aksiva and Chasima Toiva, to you, to your families, to extended families, and to all your mishpachas, and should Taka be a year full of bracha, hatzlacha and tzad ishmai, panosa, and all the wishes should become fulfilled indeed, lerotzayin. And I want to really express that the bracha is that everything should go really, really well. It should be a year of tremendous vatzlochen tzad tishmayim. Yeah, so having said that, let us look at the words of the Heilige Chofetz Chaim, Siman Tov Kuf Yud Gimel. We're up to see Vav. We learned yesterday about the eggs which were laid on Yom Tov. There's an additional continuation of this halacha. I'm trying to hope to finish this siman tonight. Let's see if we can manage to do that. Beitzah sheyotzeh ruba me'erev yom tov v'chozra v'achach nolda b'yom tov. If you've got an egg which partially came out before yom tov and he then went back inside, changed his mind, v'achach nolda b'yom tov, and subsequently the egg was actually laid on yom tov, came out partially before yom tov, but then went back in and then actually fully came out completely on Yom Tov, Muteres, it's permitted. That's the halach of an egg which was partially emerging before Yom Tov. Lefichach, therefore, afilo bodak bekino shel tanegoles erev Yom Tov. If you check the chicken, what's called, not the nest, the chicken coop, before Yom Tov, somol chashecha, before it became nacht, but ematzah ba'etzin, he didn't find an egg there. You checked in everywhere, there was no egg there. But on the next day, Hishkim, you got up early in the morning, V'matzah b'beitza, and you found an egg there. Muteres is permitted. Why? Shetana goel is enu yeledes b'alayla. Because the fact is that chickens do not lay their eggs by night. Tanagoel is enu yeledes b'alayla. V'onu toilim, and therefore we are going to assume shema'es mo'yotza ruba. We're going to assume that how come there's a laid egg here now? How can it be? Couldn't have been laid during the night. Couldn't have. So it must be an egg which actually, how come that? The early morning, as the morning starts, how come there's an egg here? So it must be that it actually was partially laid, partially came out before Yom Tov, and it fully came out now. So it must be that the egg is mutas. Therefore, if you find an egg such early in the morning, in the late, you can actually assume that it was late before, that it was actually not completely late, but it came out partially before Yom Tov, and therefore it's permitted. Top of page 262. That's assuming that it's a male hen within 60 houses. Additionally, must be also there is no a river in nearby, because the chickens can't go through the river without a bridge. Shem loikein. Because if that would be the case, then it could have been laid by night, and it would therefore be also. So we're assuming that there was no male in the surrounding, not within 60 houses. What happened if you didn't check before Yom Tov? So you don't know what happened. You didn't check before Yom Tov. Although there was no male around, it's permitted. Why? Because we assume that it was laid before Yom Tov. And without mail, the majority will lay by day. Therefore, the halacha is, taking all this into consideration, the halacha is, you're allowed to take eggs from the goy on the first night of Yom Tov, the talina, because we assume, Shema'erev Yom Tov Noldu. We assume that it was late before Yom Tov, because as we said, they won't be late by night. Also by the second night of Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz, but here again Rosh Hashanah being mentioned, not on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, and not similarly also if it's Yom Tov after Shabbos. And if you've got a goy who brings eggs on Yom Tov, on the first day Yom Tov, and he just randomly says that they were late before Yom Tov, you're allowed to rely on him. So if a random goy comes and he says, these eggs were laid a couple of days ago before Yom Tov, you're allowed to rely on him. They're not muktzem. That's only for Yom Tov in another week. And if Yom Tov falls on Sunday, then not. These eggs are also. Because you could assume that these eggs were laid on Shabbos. But also, the rest of Yom Tov, and they're also. But that's only on the first Yom Tov, or Yom Tov Sheni. But if it's on the second Yom Tov and the goy speaks, then the goy is believed. Either way, the ain't on the bottom, because that's on the bottom. Continues Shulchan Aruch Siv Zayin. Hashoychet anegoyles. If a person shecht a chicken, v'matzah b'beitzim, and he finds egg in the chicken. Beitzim Gemurah, thank you. Complete, fully developed eggs in the shechted chicken. Now, I wonder how common that is. You shecht the chicken, you find eggs in it. Can you take them or they're not? Are they fine or not? Halacha is, if they're fully developed, they're fine. You can just go for it. Even Yom Tov after Shabbos. These eggs are considered fully developed and they are not mukta. You can take them. Siv Ches. Efreach Shenal B'Yom Tov. If you've got a Efreach, a bird which is born on Yom Tov also is also. Mishnah Berurah says you've got lamed vav ba'achila v'tiltul ad erev. You're allowed to eat that bird. You're allowed to move around that bird. Mipnei shemukta, because it's mukta. Vav matirin mukta b'yom tov moedim mukta. Says that this mukta is also according to all opinions. She'ad she'yotza efroyach la'avir oylem lo yeroy leklum. This is something which was not roy at all. It's a kind of mukta which is also because it's completely new. It's a new creation as it's born. It's completely new. This bird, therefore, is mukta. It didn't exist as it were yesterday, and this is therefore Mukta. So again, a bird which was born on Yom Tov is Mukta. You cannot eat it, you cannot touch it, you cannot move it. It's new Mukta. Ve'im noila b'Shabbos, and if it was born on Shabbos, also Yom Tov Shlachov, it would even be also on the subsequent day. There's a bit of a controversy over here in the Mishnah Musaf Kot Lamed Zayin, but we're going to leave that because Halacha L'Maaseh we take after it. So, gentlemen, what we learned this evening is primarily the concept of an egg which is partially emerging on an egg which is partially emerging before Yom Tov. We assume, and you find it, an egg which is partially emerging before Yom Tov. Is allowed even if it actually comes out on Yom Tov, and therefore if you've got a suffix, if it's just come on Yom Tov and you see an egg in the early morning, we assume that it probably was that scenario, because otherwise how can it be around here? Because eggs are not laid by night. With regards to a goy, we're learning an important halacha that if the goy speaks mesiach de bituma, he randomly says this egg was laid before Yom Tov, we believe him. A Messiah Levituma and a goy is believed, provided that it's not a deraisa. Siv Zayin taught us that somebody who checks a chicken and he finds eggs inside it are permitted. However, when it comes to a bird, then that which is born on Yom Tov, that would be considered Mukta. And having said this, it will be complete Sim Tov Kuf Yud Gimel, and thereby giving the mic over to Mr. Zakiel.
Just want to reply to the thank yous that Rabbi Papkas gave us for coming to Shul. I think we would speak on everyone on behalf of everyone to thank Rabbi Papkas for continuing giving the Shul for months really, wasn't it? Well, quite a few weeks anyway. Yeah. Sorry, 5 months. Yeah, 5 months. Yeah. And not just that, in the Rav's home as well. All the kids, I imagine the kids running around making a noise. All the distractions. And And also on top of the reliability. It's got to be a share tonight. You know, there are rare occasion maybe we have a family simply can't get out of it. But
baby as well.
Right? Baby as well. Thank you very much. So just something short and sweet I just saw the other day. But on Slichus, on our favourite times of the year, I'm sure. You know, the dreaded, not the dreaded Slichus, but anyway. But so it says here, so it said one of the reasons why the Ashkenazim recite Slichus for at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah is based on the laws regarding a sacrifice. So the Eliyahu Rabbah explains that because of this similarity between the verses regarding the sacrifices and those of Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah we should feel as if we are actually sacrificing our own lives for the sake of Hashem's will. So for this reason, we spend 4 days, or sometimes more, but usually sometimes 4 days inspecting our deeds and looking for blemishes, just as one is required to do as if he was making an animal sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Zevlev asked that if the 4 days before Rosh Hashanah are there for us to remove all of our blemishes, then why do we need the 10 days of Teshuvah? So if we are already blemish-free, what sins are we repenting for? So he answers that we are not really becoming blemish-free in the lead-up to Rosh Hashanah. Rather, we are using the 4 days to recognize that we have blemishes. When we look at ourselves and the deeds we perform, we tend not to find too many faults in our actions. And on the rare occasion that we do, we are very quick to justify them and forgive ourselves. But as Rav Yitzhak Berkovitz says, if we were to sit down and write an honest list of all our faults and the test that we have failed, then pretended that the list belonged to someone else, would we want to be friends with that person? So no, it's no way. No, it's not the case. Yet when it comes to other people, we are only too quick to judge negatively. So therefore, in these 4 days, we've had them now, but finishing tomorrow, but we are expected to take an honest look at exactly where we are holding in life and where our responsibilities lie. This is the first stage of preparation towards offering our lives to serve Hashem in the coming year, followed by the 10 days of repentance when we are literally able to become blemish-free in the hope there's a full atonement on Yom Kippur a few days later.
Yeah.